this temptation. If you ask God to help you, He'll give you the strength to overcome. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. See, we have good intentions. We want to do the right thing. And I have no doubt, if you struggle with an addiction today, if you could, you would give that up. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But it's not enough just to have the desire. You've got to pray so that your spirit man will get stronger in that area. Because if you can get your inner man stronger than your outer man, you'll resist that temptation every time. Here's the key. Don't wait until you're in the middle of a temptation to pray and ask God for help. Pray ahead of time. If you've got a problem with your temper, before you leave your house, Lord, help me control my temper today. Help me to stay calm and not give in to that temptation to get upset with people. Lord, help me today. Don't wait until you're in the heat of the battle and your emotions are high and your passion's out of control. Rather, pray ahead of time. Get prayed up. Get your inner man stronger. Maybe if you're trying to lose weight and maybe you're trying to be more disciplined in your eating, you can't wait until you're at the mall and you smell the cinnamon buns and three people walk by with an ice cream sundae. It's too late by that time. You think, man, I'll just eat now. I'll repent later. You've got to pray ahead of time. When you get up in the morning, Lord, help me to be disciplined in my eating today. You've got to get your inner man built up. Develop this reservoir of strength. So when temptation comes, you're so prayed up, you're so strong, you're so focused, you are able to resist it. Amen. If you struggle with depression, don't wait until you've been depressed for 3 days before you ask God for help. Rather, on your good days, when you feel encouraged, pray, Lord, help me to resist the temptation to get depressed. Help me to control my thought life and stay happy and stay hopeful in my life. Pray ahead of time. I heard about a man who prayed, Lord, said, Lord, I've done well so far today. I haven't lied, cheated, gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been rude, grumpy, angry. But God, I'm going to need your help today because I'm about to get out of bed this morning. Pray ahead of time, and God will help you. When Jesus was about to be crucified, he knew. Jesus was facing the cross. He was about to be crucified. He knew there was a difficult time ahead, and he knew he was going to be tempted to get discouraged and even give up. And what did Jesus do? He prayed, Father, not my will, let your will be done. Lord, if you can take this, Father, if you can take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. Amen. He was the Son of God. The Son of God. Yet he said, Father, I can't do this on my own. I'm tempted not to go through with it. I need your strength. Jesus was praying all night before he went to that cross. Because let me tell you, in his flesh and humanity, who wants to be crucified? Who wants to be whipped? The scripture says in Luke 22, verse 43, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Think about that. An angel came and strengthened Jesus as he was praying about to go to the cross. If you will pray and ask God to help you resist, he will send his angels to strengthen you as well. This is what David, King David, did. He prayed and he asked God to help him to control his mouth. David was a great leader. Yet this may have been the one thing that could easily ensnare him. In Psalm 141, verse 3, David prayed. He said, God, give me grace to guard my lips from speaking what is wrong. Lord, help me guard my lips from speaking what is wrong. He asked God to help him. And God helped him to overcome in that area. Jesus said to Peter, I'm about to be crucified. You're going to be tempted to deny me, Peter. You need to pray so you don't give in to that temptation. Well, it was late in the day. Peter was tired. He didn't feel like praying. Plus, he was proud. He thought he could do it in his own strength. He said, in effect, I don't need to pray. I'm your friend, Jesus. I'll never deny you. I'm with you through thick and thin, Lord. Even if everyone leaves you, I'll never leave you. And you all know what happened. A few hours later, when the soldiers questioned Peter, he denied that he even knew Jesus. What would have happened if Peter prayed? I wonder if he'd done like David and said, God, I need your help today. I need you to strengthen me. If Jesus thought it necessary to pray and ask God for strength, and if he told us to pray so we won't give into temptation, that tells me this should be part of our everyday life. One reason that you keep giving in to the same thing again and again is because you're not asking God to help you. If you'll do like Peter, you know, and if you think you can do it on your own, God will just step back. But when you humble yourself and you say, Lord, I need your help today. I need you to help me not to compromise today. Lord, I need you to help me not let my eyes wander today. Help me be disciplined in my eating today. Whatever it may be, when you ask God for his help, he will send his angels to strengthen you. One lady that I spoke to was addicted to cocaine for 11 years. She'd been clean for 3 months, the longest time that she'd ever stopped, you know, in her life. How did she do it? She said she got some new friends. She got rid of the people dragging her down, and she got some friends that would help pull her up. And she stopped thinking she couldn't do it. She started saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And every morning she'd get up, she says, Lord, I need your help today. I need your strength today. I need your grace today. God, help me to resist this temptation. See, when you acknowledge God as the source of your strength, you will have a power to resist that you never felt before. I wonder how much more victory we'd walk in if we just get up every day of our life and just say, Father, help me not lose my temper today. Help me not compromise today. Help me to stand strong today. Pray ahead of time. Get your inner man built up. And let me tell you, I find praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues is the best way to build up your inner man. Jude verse 20, there's just one chapter. It says, but you constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Do you know when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says you are building up your inner man. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 says a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. When you pray in tongues, you experience a personal, you are strengthened on the inside. I encourage you to make time to pray in the Spirit every day. Read the Word of God every day that strengthens your inner man. The second thing that is a key to overcoming sin is reading God's Word. David wrote in Psalm 119, he said in verse 9, how can a young man stay pure? By reading your Word and following its rules. Verse 11, I have thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin. Let me tell you, there is power in the Word of God. Jesus, how did Jesus overcome temptation? With the Word of God. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted, he became very hungry. And during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. What did Jesus say? The Scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you know Jesus was quoting the Scripture? That Scripture's in the Old Testament. If you look at the cross-reference of your Bible, it'll tell you where the Scripture is. In verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and he said, if you're the Son of God, jump off, for the Scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the Scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him up onto the peak of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And the devil said, I will give all this to you if you will kneel down and worship me. What did Jesus say? Get out of here, Satan. The Scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. Can you see the power of God's Word? Can you see God's Word is a mighty weapon that God has given us? Do you know the Bible says in Ephesians 6 verse 17, take the mighty razor sharp Spirit sword of the spoken Word of God. Do you know when you speak the Word of God, it's like a sharp two-edged sword that cuts aside the enemy's attack and the enemy's entanglements. And the Word of God is a mighty weapon God has given us. When the enemy comes to tempt you, use God's Word to resist him. Number three, third key to overcoming temptation, sin, is you have to depend on the grace of God. You have to depend on the grace of God. Now, I hear a lot of teaching about grace, and they only teach one part of it. I'm going to teach you what the Word of God teaches about grace. In Acts 13, verse 43, the Bible says, Paul and Barnabas urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God. They urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul said to Timothy, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ. Talking about depending on God's grace. How many of you know we are saved because of the grace of God? We were saved by receiving the grace of God. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift God has given us. It's by his grace. It's not because of anything we've done. It's all because of what Jesus has done. Amen? But here's what happens. A lot of people, they try and live their Christian life in their own strength, and they don't realize that grace is not just for salvation. It's not just forgiveness. It's not just for forgiveness, but grace is an enabling power that enables you. We are to continue to live for God by depending and relying on the grace of God. Grace is God's ability working in us and working for us, enabling us to do what we can't do in our own ability. Grace is not just, if you sin, you know, God will forgive you. Grace is a power that enables you to overcome sin. Do you understand? It's the ability of God on the inside of you. Romans 6 verse 14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you are not under law, but under grace. You see, the grace of God is what enables us to overcome. In Titus 2 verse 11, it says, for the grace of God has come for the deliverance from sin. The grace of God has come for what reason? For the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation of all mankind. Now, grace is not just to forgive us from our sin. Grace is to empower us to resist and to overcome sin. Grace doesn't allow us to live immoral lives. In Romans 6 verse 1, it says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? You see, in Jude 1 verse 4, the scripture says, there have been some who have sneaked in among you unnoticed. They are depraved people whose judgment was prophesied in Scripture a long time ago. They have perverted the message of God's grace into a license to commit immorality. Now, that's my little issue with a lot of the grace teaching. A lot of the grace teaching gives you this impression that you can't live above sin. But thank God for his grace, because no matter what we do, God forgives us. That's not the teaching of grace. The teaching of grace is that the grace of God is an empowerment that enables me. I can't overcome in my own strength, but because of the grace of God and because I'm trusting and depending on his grace, I can overcome in his strength. Are you with me? But you see, you've got to access the grace of God in your life. How do you access? I heard one preacher say, why don't pastors get up and tell everyone about all their weaknesses and tell everyone about all their mistakes? Listen, I have weaknesses. I have made mistakes. I commit sin. You don't need me to get up here and tell you all the sin and all the weak. You need to get up here. You need me to get up here and tell you how to overcome it. You see, you've got to access the grace of God. How do you access the grace of God? Romans 5 verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Faith is the way that you access God's grace in your life. So So how do you access the grace of God by faith? By saying, Lord, I thank you for your grace that makes me strong. I thank you that I can overcome sin by the grace of God. Thank you that I live a holy life by the grace of God. Are you with me? That's what I declare, Lord. Thank you that by your grace, I'm living a holy life. By your grace, I'm able to overcome sin. I'm depending not on my willpower. I'm depending on the grace of God on the inside of me to enable me to be able to resist that temptation. Do you get what I'm telling you today? Because a lot of times, instead of accessing God's grace, some people are actually nullifying his grace in their life. The scripture says in Galatians 2, verse 21, I do not set aside and invalidate and frustrate and nullify the grace of God. Do you know you can actually nullify, make God's grace of no power in your life? In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, Paul said, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The Passion Bible says, allowing it to have no effect on your life. And Galatians 5, verse 4 says, you have fallen away from the revelation of grace. Now, how do we nullify God's grace? How do we receive God's grace in vain? How do we fall away from grace? Very simple. By starting your Christian life depending on the grace of God. That's how we all got saved. We received Jesus in our life. We knew that we couldn't save ourselves. We knew there's none righteous. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all knew that. And we recognized, Lord, I need you. I need salvation. And I receive salvation by grace because of what Jesus did. That's how we all started our Christian life. But then, if we try to live the Christian life in our own strength, then we fall from grace. Because grace, the grace of God, is what empowers you to live a victorious life. Romans 5, verse 17. This is a powerful scripture. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin. How do I live in triumph over sin? By depending on the grace of God to enable me to do what I can't do in my own strength. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, the Apostle Paul, he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You see, now some people, I hear them teach on grace almost like you got no part to play, that it's all up to God, that it's nothing to do with you, that it's all what Jesus did, that doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter what sin, it doesn't matter what you're doing, it's all by grace. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, I labored harder than anyone else working for the gospel, but I did it by the grace of God. It wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. Do you see that today? The Passion Bible says, God's amazing grace has made me who I am. And his grace toward me was not fruitless. In fact, I worked harder than all the rest, yet not in my own strength, but in God's strength. For his empowering grace is poured upon me. Say, God's empowering grace is enabling me to overcome every temptation. I am living a holy life because I depend on the grace of God. Do you know that the Apostle Paul endured and overcame just incredible obstacles? He was put in prison multiple times. He was whipped 5 times with 39 lashes, 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He faced much danger, betrayal. And yet, in spite of all that, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He established numerous churches. He said everything that he accomplished was because of the grace of God. And let me tell you, God's grace is available to you. And if you're going to overcome sin, and if you're going to overcome every temptation that will hold you back from, 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 from finishing the race God has for you. You have to depend and rely on the grace of God. Can you say amen, somebody? The last thing I want to speak about today, the fourth key. We spoke about pray, read the Word of God, depend on the grace of God. Number four, avoid temptation. Don't put yourself in situations where you know you're going to be tempted. You can't pray to God to help you overcome addiction and go hang out with people who enable you. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, run from temptations. Run from temptations. If you're trying to break the spirit of alcohol, don't go party with your buddies after work. Oh, well, Pastor Steve, I'm just here for the company. I'm not going to drink anything. I'm just here for the... Listen, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. If you hang around the beehive, you're going to get stung. If you hang around the barbershop, you're going to get a haircut. You're going to get out of that environment. You're going to run from that temptation. Get out of that environment. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. If your friends are pulling you down, causing you to compromise, find new friends. Because you can pray all day long for God to help you, but until you separate yourself from that, it's not going to do you any good. You're going to continue to struggle. Like there was this young lady I was speaking to. She really liked this young man, but all he wanted to do was party. He wasn't going anywhere, didn't have any goals, didn't want to serve the Lord. She tried to get him to come to church again and again. He wouldn't come. Finally, she looked at him and she said, listen, if you're not going to go to heaven with me, I'm not going to go to hell with you. Let me tell you, no boyfriend is worth going to hell. No girlfriend is worth going to hell. No sin is worth missing the destiny and plan that God has for your life. If you're gonna get free, if you're going to break loose of that one thing that would hold you back, you may have to take some drastic measures. You may have to change your environment, your friends. If you're going to stay faithful in your marriage, and if all your friends run around on their spouse, let me tell you, spirits are transferable. And if you hang out with them long enough, you too will start being tempted in that area. If you hang out with a jealous person long enough, you'll end up jealous, critical, sour. You've got to put yourself in a different environment. The only thing that is keeping some people from rising higher, from resisting temptation, is the people they choose to associate with. Let me tell you, the less time you spend with some people, the better off you'll be. You've got to ask yourself, are these people that are dragging me down, causing me to compromise, are they worth me missing my divine destiny over? In the Scripture, Joseph worked for a man named Potiphar. Joseph was in charge of all of Potiphar's house. And Joseph was being his best, even though he'd been wronged, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. He was being his best for Potiphar, minding his own business. But Potiphar's wife had a thing for Joseph, man. And she tried to seduce him. And day after day, she kept making advances to him. She let him know that she was interested. Joseph was a young man of great character, and his attitude was, this woman isn't worth me missing my divine destiny over. I can imagine he got up every morning and prayed, Lord, help me be strong. Help me stand strong today. Help me resist this temptation today. He not only prayed, he did his best to avoid her. The Scripture says in Genesis 39, verse 10, she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as is possible. There's another key to resisting temptation, and that is to avoid the wrong people, avoid the wrong places, avoid the wrong TV channels. Joseph went out of his way to stay out of her path. If she came inside the house, he went outside the house. He didn't think, I'm strong, I'm invincible, I got this. No, he knew he was fallible. So he did what he could do to stay away. And one day it just so happened that everybody was gone. And she came into the room where Joseph was working, and she grabbed him and she tried to force him to sleep with her. Genesis 39, verse 12, Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. He ran from the temptation. He left his cloak. Sometimes in order to resist temptation, you've got to be willing to leave your coat. You've got to have to give up something to keep from compromising. You may have to give up playing ball with the guys if you can't resist partying with them after the game. You may have to give up working late if there's someone there who's going to tempt you to get off course. You may have to give up premium cable if you can't stay off the wrong channels. You can't ask God to help you and then go sit in the middle of temptation. You got to avoid temptation. You got to do like Joseph, man, and you got to run from it. Now, men, I know it's not very macho to run from a woman, but you got to do what you got to do, man. Right, Abel? Abel knows what I'm talking about. Young people, stop worrying about how popular you are, who's going to accept you. Man, do what you got to do. That person at the office who's flirting with you, run from them. Don't play with fire. If they take the elevator, you take the stairs. If they leave at 5, you leave at 5:30. Do like Joseph, avoid temptation. Amen? If you're trying to lose weight, stay out of the kitchen. Don't think I'm just going to see what's in the fridge. I'm just going to take a look. Avoid the temptation. Someone said, I'm strong, I'm mature, I can resist it, I can handle it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, even if you think you can stand up to temptation, be careful not to fall. If Jesus can be tempted, we all can be tempted. No matter how strong you think you are, you're not invincible. Every one of us is capable of giving in to temptation. That's why we need to pray ahead of time. And that's why we need to depend on the grace of God. And that's why we need to do what we can to avoid it and not put ourselves in that situation. Let me tell you, partying with the people after work isn't worth you missing your destiny over. Watching things that are questionable isn't worth being sidetracked from where God wants to take you. These temptations, they look so alluring at first, but they always end in heartache and pain. I heard about an Eskimo, how they used to kill a wolf. They would take their knife blade and they would coat the blade with animal blood and then they would let it freeze. And then they'd put another layer of animal blood and let it freeze, like a popsicle. And then they'd put another layer of animal blood until it was about an inch thick of animal blood, like a popsicle. Then they'd put the knife in the ground with the blade sticking up. And during the night, the wolf smells the blood and it starts licking the knife. The more he licks it, the more he likes it. And he will lick and lick and lick faster and faster. And so feverishly, he wouldn't feel the knife slicing through his tongue. He gets so passionate in the pleasure of the moment, he wouldn't realize the point at which his own blood was now satisfying his insatiable thirst. By the morning, that wolf would be lying dead in the snow. Often these temptations that come to us, they look so appealing. We're tempted to think, man, you know, you only live once. I'm not hurting anybody. No, everybody's doing it. This is 2021, Pastor Steve. What are you talking about? Everybody lives with their boyfriend. Everybody lives with a girl. 50% of Christians right now think it's okay to live with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. 50% of Christians. Listen, don't be deceived. Behind that pleasure, there's a hidden razor blade. And you may not feel it in the beginning. Going out and getting high with some friends at first feels good. But 20 years later, when you're addicted, lonely, depressed, you don't feel so good. Being dishonest may get you ahead at first. But later on, when the truth comes out, and it always does, it'll put you much further behind than if you'd been honest and had integrity. There is temporary pleasure in giving in to temptation. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin, but the end is destruction. The pain in the long run, will always outweigh the pleasure. The pain of discipline is temporary, but the pain of compromise is permanent. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, it's hard to resist. Yes, it may be, but you know what's even harder? Living in bondage, condemned, and missing your God-given destiny. There's nothing worse than going through life with things holding you back that you know you can defeat. You know by the grace of God you can overcome. Some of you are struggling with addictions, wrong mindsets, negative emotions. You're allowing something small to control you. I want to let you know you're better than that. You're a child of the Most High God. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. You have been crowned with the favor of God. You have been chosen. Don't settle where you are. You can overcome anything in your life, big or small. Doesn't matter if it's a negative attitude or if you're addicted to cocaine. The power in you is greater than the power that is coming against you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You've got to keep reminding yourself, man, I'm better than this. I'm not going to settle for mediocrity. I'm going to dig my heels in. I'm going to focus. I'm going to discipline. And by the grace of God and with God's help, I'm going to resist every temptation. And I'm going to break every bondage. And I'm going to fulfill God's destiny. And I'm going to run the race that he's got before me. And I'm going to stand before him one day. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, you are well able. Don't let something small keep you from the big things that God has in your future. What is that one thing that could easily ensnare you? Identify what it is and start asking God to help you. The devil doesn't have any new tricks. If you'll learn how to defeat that today, you can defeat it your whole lifetime. Amen? Be strong by depending on God's grace. Avoid tempting situations. Don't put yourself in situations when you're going to be tempted to compromise. And I declare in the name of Jesus that every chain in your life is broken. I declare we're going to go out of here free. We're not going to go out of here controlled by a temper or by a drug or by an addiction or by lust or by fear or by worry or by any person. In the name of Jesus, every stronghold is coming down. Every bondage is being broken. Every chain is being loosed. You're going to resist that temptation. You're going to step into a freedom like you've never seen before. In the name of Jesus. Do you agree with that today? Come on, give God thanks. If you receive it, give God praise. Say, I receive it today. Say this, say, I am running the race that God has set before me. I am laying aside every weight, every sin, and I'm running the race, depending on grace, praying, reading God's word in the name of Jesus. It's just that simple. Bow your heads with me, if you would. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person here this morning and every person watching this. I pray your word has gone deep into their heart and your word will not return void. I thank you, Father, for your grace that enables us to be able to live a holy life, a life that is pleasing to you and fulfill the destiny that you have set before us, Father. In the name of Jesus, I break every bondage in your life. I take authority over anything holding you back and hindering you. In Jesus' name, I declare you are free today. While you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, before we move on with the service, there's something that we do every Sunday, so important. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord today, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, I hope I go to heaven if I die today. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. And I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. My question to you is, if you died today, can you say you know for sure that heaven is where you would go and spend eternity? Because the good news is you can be sure of that. You can know that you know that all is well between you and God, that every mistake, every sin you ever committed is forgiven, and you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain. There is a heaven that awaits us, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you sit, if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me, include me in that prayer you're going to pray. I want to make sure. I want to make sure all is right between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I ask you, just lift up your hand. Raise it up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. I see hands being raised. Just lift it up quickly. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Just put it up high. Here's my hand. Pray for me. All right. I want everyone who lifted your hand, I want to pray with you and for you. And I'm going to ask church if we can all please say this prayer together. The scripture says, it's on the screen in Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you get saved. So everyone say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die on a cross for me. And you said that if I believe that that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and if I would confess that he is Lord, that I would be saved. Come on, everyone, say it with me. Say, I believe in my heart, Jesus, you are alive, and I declare you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. And I thank you, Lord, because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Come on, give God thanks and praise. All of heaven rejoices when one person receives Christ. That's what the Bible says. If you raised your hand for that prayer, I want to ask you, please remain seated when we close the service in a couple of minutes. We have a gift for you. One of our counselors, one of our servant leaders, we call them, volunteers, going to come over to you, give you a gift before you go. Thank you so much.
You know, we're going to receive the offering right now, but I had something that the Lord keeps prompting me that I couldn't shake off. I was reminded when we were in Cape Town and we had just started the church, and we were going to have our first Christmas dinner, and we had a very mixed race church. And an elderly white gentleman came up to us, and he said, I want to come to the Christmas dinner, but I need you to assure me that I'll not sit next to somebody of a different race. And Pastor Steve said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, we're not going to do that. And so last night, the Holy Spirit brought that up to my mind, and I was like, why would I think of that after so many years? But as Pastor Steve was preaching, I felt like there's people that are in this place, and your judgment of people is going to hinder the plan that God has for your life. Because just like we read that there's a path, a definite path that God's laid out for your life that always involves people along the way. And it may not necessarily be a racial issue that you have, but it may be an issue with culture. It may be an issue with the haves and the have-nots. Sometimes it's the haves who don't want to be around the have-nots and the have-nots who don't want to be around the haves. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, just shake off the judgments that you have of people, because it'll hinder the plan that God has for your life. So I don't know who that's for, but that was for free. That's for all of us. That's for all of us. Amen. Well, now's the time in the service where we get to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. What a privilege it is to take part by financially giving. And I just want to thank everybody that's given online. People give all throughout this week. People have been giving online. And we, as a church, we appreciate that. I thank you. Thanks, Abigail. Just help me out there. I like to follow a plan. In just what I say, but it's very important that you understand. I went to a meeting recently, and when it came to offering time, I felt like it taught me a few things about how people hear what I'm saying. This is the way that our church is financed. It's by the tithes and offerings of God's people. It also enables you to obey God, enables you to be generous, enables you to take part in what God's doing. Amen? And so as you prepare yourself to give, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, I mean two verses from the book of Proverbs. And, you know, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and he was, the Bible says, the wisest man who ever lived, other than Jesus. So all the way through Proverbs, what he does is there's this contrast. Those that follow God's way as opposed to those that don't follow God's way. And so when we read from these two verses in Proverbs 11, it's telling us the two options that we have and the results that come from them. But let me just say this. As we prepare to give, there's various ways to give. So it comes up on the screen. You know, I like text giving where you just put that number in your phone and then you just put whatever, if you put a 50, if that's what you want to give, and it'll take you through the prompts. But there's various ways to give. Now, this is what Proverbs 11 verse 24, this is what Solomon wrote. Thanks for giving me that scripture. That's last week. Thank you. There is one who generously scatters abroad, and yet he increases all the more. So this is the one person. And then there is one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want and poverty. The generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity that he has sown. So Solomon just lays it out. He said, these are people, sometimes you think there's one who's giving and giving and giving, and in all rights and purposes, he should have less than the one who holds on to everything he has. But he says it doesn't work that way, because in giving, in generosity, God brings an increase that doesn't come by holding on to everything you have. Amen? So there's another verse in the scripture that talks about withholding what is justly due. The Bible says that the tithe belongs to the Lord. Don't withhold. And so when we withhold, we're just cutting ourselves off from the blessing of God. So I encourage you today, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for following the Lord as you obey Him in tithing, as you give generously. We expect these blessings to follow us. Increase. Amen. So thank you. Ushers, prepare yourself. Go ahead, and we can pass the offering buckets. I'll pray over it. Hold on before you pass that. Father, I just thank you for each and every person in this building. I thank you for those that are watching online, those that are giving online.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for every household that's represented. Thank you for the tithers and the generous givers in this church.
Yes.
We claim the promises of your word to be so in their life. I thank you for favor that rests upon them. I thank you for doors of opportunity that open. I thank you, Father, for contracts and deals that they would not have got in their own strength, but that you bring them to pass.
Yes,
Father, we thank you for the supernatural increase that is upon your people in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for your giving. We also want to thank all of our volunteers, all of our servant leaders, everyone who served in God's house today. Won't you give them a big round of applause? Because we so appreciate our media team and our children's church workers and our musicians and our ushers and our greeters and people who come and pray. We so appreciate you all. We are a team together. Don't forget, before you leave today, please put that Connect card in the offering bucket so we can let you know where your Connect group is. As my wife said, we moved to our new condo this week. It's like the Lord is so good. It's like a dream come true. It really is. You know, we went from living 20 years in a 6-bedroom home, and getting that home was a miracle. We came from South Africa with no credit, and that was a miracle. And this condo now, we've downsized, but we love it. We've got a wonderful view, and so we've done a lot of cleaning out because we don't have as much space. So I don't like to... I don't know about you, I don't like throwing good things away, and I've got clothes that are like Italian and just great clothes. I just don't wear them, and so I didn't want to just give them to anyone, so I brought all my clothes and I've got them in the lobby, and if there's any men out there want to go take a look. I've got jackets and pants and shirts, and please help yourself. I'm giving them away. I want to bless you. And if you don't want them, then I'll take them and give them to someone who does. But so that's that. And then I think that's it, right? Connect group, give my stuff away. Praise the Lord. Tell someone next to you, I'm glad you're here today. Say this with me, Si, I am laying aside every weight, every sin, and I'm running the race God has for me in the name of Jesus. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless.